We do so many, you see, observe all these ceremonies, for rituals, we perform rituals, read scriptures, say prayers. What is this for? This is only to create interest in you in a way to just have some love for God. You say all these prayers and not a single tear drop sheds from your tears in sweet remembrance of the Lord, well, such like practices will carry you nowhere. It is just like a gymnastics that you do with no results. So way back to God is love, you see. So love all. Love and all things shall be added unto you. It is said of St. John, you see, when he was old enough, he could not walk freely. He used to walk with a stick in hand, by the sport of a stick in hand. Some school managers just went off, invited him to give a talk to the children in the school. He came up, sat down, he was very old, you see. He just raised up his head and said, "Boys, love one another." Then he sat down again, he raised his hands and said, "Boys, love one another." Again, third time he raised his head and again repeated the same thing, "Boys, love one another." Then he kept quiet. The secretary in charge, after waiting for a few minutes, then he, perhaps he was considering that further talk will be given. So when St. John did not speak, he simply asked his audio son, "Have you nothing more to say?" He said, "Well, I have nothing more to say. That is all I have to say, love one another. Love and all things shall be added unto you." Sometimes on account of position you hold, sometimes on account of having wealth, and possessions. The life does not consist in possessions and wealth, you see. As I just defined before. Life consists in contacting your conscious self with the all consciousness of it. So he said, "Well, love and all things shall be added unto you." You know, once Christ said, "Well, look at, I give you a new commandment." What? Love one another. What for? So that the people may know that you are coming to me. So these are the qualifications of selfless service, you see. Selfless service also in two ways, you see. One physically, when another man is sick, he wants your attendance, do it selflessly. Somebody else needs you for some public service, they do it for you. That's the first sort of selfless service you can perform, you see, by physical body. And the other is financially. You see? Financially, just earn money with a hard dint, you see, of brow, sweat of brow. Honesty, that's the first thing. And then keep up, maintain your bodies, maintain your families, and out of that just reserve something, give away something for share with others who are needy, who are just unclothed, those who have got nothing to eat. And also for the purpose of the public service. And especially where the people can have spiritual uplift. So these are the qualifications of a man who would like to see God. Also I would just advise you, this is being my last talk, that I will also require you, each one of you, to love one another as yourself. If you love anybody, first of all love God. God resides in every heart. Naturally, you have to love all humanity. When you love all humanity, are you going to rob anybody or kill anybody or steal anything of the other body? Not the least. These are the two commandments on it. All other commandments hang on, you see. The work of all prophets hang on, I tell you. When you are prepared that way, you are a fit person to see God. That mercy at whose feet? First of all, I told you have to come to some master who has himself seen God. First thing, he will be able to show you also. If he has not seen himself, how can he show you? The question was asked from Guru Nanak when there was a God. He said, yes, behold, God is seen everywhere. I see God everywhere. How to see? He said, those eyes are different. Those eyes are not of flesh and bone, but different with which we can see God. And which is which are those eyes? That is the inner eye or the single eye, what Christ speaks of. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That is the eye, with a neat man, but now closed. When that inner eye is open, with that you will see the light of God within you. Definition of a true Sikh, as given by the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, is who sees the full effulgent light of God within, only he is a pure Sikh, pure heart. Mohammedans also say the same thing. Those who go up the mountain of Tur, that is, rises above the body and sees the light of God, he is a true Mohammedan. And as regards the Christian, it is also said, he is only the true Christian who sees the light of God. Hindus also define the same. So true Christianity, true Sikhism, true Hinduism and true Mohammedanism lies in what? In seeing God, the light of God, which is within you. You see? No, for that in those men, those masters, who teachers, name them by any name you like, those who have analyzed themselves from the body, and known own self first, and their inner eye is open to see the light of God, you see, only, and they are competent to give you first-hand experience, how little it may be. There's no question of quantum, you see. At the feet of such a master, you will also be able to see God and to hear the voice of God. So this is a question before us. How can we see God? I will just give you a digest of a hymn from the 5th Guru of the Sikhs, you see, in which he deals with this subject, you see. What does he say? He says, well, how can we see God, you see? That's a question, that's a common question before us all. The elementary thing, you see, requires the qualification I've just given you. Who is having that qualification, he comes up to somebody who is on the way, he is simply telling, all right, how to see God, that is your question. And the first and foremost thing is what? He says you must meet such a person who has transcended the physical, astral and mental planes, causal planes, known himself and contacted God, you see, and risen into him, you see. Or say, who has become the mouthpiece of God, I tell you. Mouthpiece of God. Who speaks as inspired by God. Only such a man will be able to give you the first and experience. If you sit at the feet of such a person who has seen God, only then you will be able to see God. This is what Christ also said, you see. He said, God knows the Son, and Son knows the Father. And others whom the Son of Man reveals. And the similar thing has been given by the third Guru of the Sikhs, Guru Amar Das. He says, it is a fundamental rule that without sitting at the feet of a true master, God has made it a fundamental rule that whoever sits at the feet of a true master, only he will come up to me. You see, the same parallel thought, you see, given out by masters in their own language at different times when they visited the earth. So their first qualification is to sit at the feet of a practical master, I would say now. And this is almost said by almost all saints, you see. Maulana Rum, a Mohammedan saint, says, well, look here, if you want to go to a pilgrimage, place of pilgrimage, just take somebody who has already has been to that place of pilgrimage. Because he knows the way, he has been there, he knows all the ways and other things, how to stay on the way, how we will reach here, what are the means which will help us to reach here. And it is better always to just find out somebody who has seen that place. And who should be? To what religion he should belong, he says. No matter, he may be a Hindu, he is a Mohammedan saint. He may be a Hindu, he may be a Turk, he may belong to any social religion, that makes no matter. He must be one who has visited the place of pilgrimage. Those who have seen her, those who have seen God, take him along with you. For instance, the man has to go to a foreign land, what does he do? He looks up directories, finds out how I will go, how I will just have to go to some foreign land, and how I will take a ticket, which ship I should go on, you see, and where that will land, and that place where might be, I do not know the language of that place, what will be intermediary, you see, for interpretation. And if I go at all to that place, where should I live? I've got no acquaintance there. For these purposes, you look up the directory. In the meantime, when you are searching for that thing, a man comes up and says, well, all right, you are going to such and such foreign countries, and just a man has come back from that very country. What will he do? That is, he will close the directory all at once and run up to the man who is coming from that country. Is it not? That's one nature. When you go to him, he asks him questions, well, look here, what is the way and how will you go? He has seen, he will say. That's the difference, you see. The man who has seen, you see, is very definite about this. is that weight in this world is full of, out of full conviction he speaks. No doubt, no ray of uncertainty in his talk, you see. That is naturally that appeals to the man who goes to him. And by the way, he mentions all the time, again going to that country next week. How do you find yourself there? All please, you have been most directed now, because the man who has been to that place is just going along with you. Similarly, this way, please. We are now identified with the body. So much so that we cannot differentiate. We have to leave the body someday. There are macrocosm is in the microcosm. You just leave the body and there are further planes, astro, causal, and beyond, you see. You traverse all these things, go, reach your true home, you see. That is, who has traversed these things, has been to this, he goes over there daily. If you come across such a man, naturally you feel very happy. Now, ABC, of the teachings of such a master who has gone beyond, he does not touch your social religion, I say. He says, remain where you are. You see? They say always, give things, give to Caesar, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are of God's. He simply says that. He does not touch the outer aspects of your religion. He comes, simply touches who you are, what you are, how can you transcend the body, leave the physical plane, transcend into the beyond, and ultimately reach your true home. How to open the inner eyes and see the light of God. Kingdom of God is within you, he says always. So, Guru Arjuna says, really, if you are hard up to fulfill the highest aim of your life of seeing God, first requirement is to just sit at the feet of somebody who has seen God. Mere intellectual man will not be able to give you that experience. Of course, he will give you all intellectual information. When you want to become a doctor, you see, you must sit at the feet of some doctor, you see. He can make you a doctor. Just by anatomy, by operations, you've seen how the system is working and this and that. The doctor work wonders by operation. They take out everything else and still the man is alive, you see. If you just go only to a druggist, could you become a doctor? He'll of course give you so many recipes, he has the same prescriptions. Give a various doctor for a certain disease, he will be able to give you all that. But this is such and such is the prescription, such and such like that. But he cannot make you a doctor, you see. Similar this way, this is question of self-analysis. The man who has analyzed himself from the body, known himself and known God, transcended all these physical, astral and causal planes at will, then he lies, he transcends the body, when he comes back, he works in the body. He has that competency. When you sit at the feet of only such a person, only then you will be able to see that. The man who has simply remembered all the holy scriptures of the world, he might be giving you a very wonderful talk, quoting here, there, from Vedas and Shastras, Mohammedan and Sikh scriptures of the Bible, everywhere. First of all, he would not be able to reconcile these things, I tell you. He may be quoting you so many things, but he doesn't know. This is just like a, I tell you, some sandalwood or some very precious and delicious sweets which are just laden on an ash. That ash is carrying that on, but he does not eat, does not taste, you see. Similarly, any spoon which is just going into the pudding, sweet puddings or sweet dishes, that does not taste anything. Similarly, the man who is just his brain full of this merchandise of the holy scriptures, he has no taste of that. How can you give anything at all? The first and foremost requirement is to sit at the feet of some practical master who has analyzed himself, whose inner eyes open to see the light of God, and who is competent to give you first an experience thereof, how little it is. This is what, if such a master gives you initiation, puts you on the way, only then you will be able to get on, otherwise not. This is the first requirement. Now naturally the question arises, such a master, what will he teach you? Can past masters help us? Are those needed? When I say the need of the past masters as well, why, they had this experience in their lives, they left us their experiences in the form of the holy scriptures, which are worth in tons and gold and rubies and emeralds and diamonds. But by reading them, that will create in you an interest to have that life. And that is all. But present day somebody is also needed who has got that experience in himself. He transcends the body, consciousness of the body. His inner eyes opened. He sees the light of God. He has those experiences which are given in the holy scriptures. Such a present man, living man is required, who is able to give you that experience, you see. He is also needed. Past gurus or masters are needed for the purpose of testimony. Oh, they all say one thing, you see. They speak of the same experience in their own ways, in their own languages. But they are a sealed book, I would say, handed down to us from posterity to posterity, but we have not tasted them. Those things which the scriptures speak of, those are within you. You see? Unless you know how to invert, how to transcend the body. Body is the temple of God. Unless you invert and see those things for your own self, you are not convinced, my friend. The saints say, Sola, you may be reading all scriptures, you may be hearing even the masters, I would say. You may be intellectually satisfied, but full conviction arises only when you see the things for your own self. First you can take up the thing as an experimental measure. But when you are made to sit and given the first and experience, naturally you are convinced that there is a way up. So the first and foremost requirement is to meet or to sit at the feet of some master who is competent to give you that experience, and he has that experience himself too. This is the first thing, you see. If such a man puts you on the way back to God, you will be on the way and you will be having those experiences. This is a fundamental truth. Then such a man, what does he teach? That's the question arises. What would he say? There are teachers and teachers. There are teachers of the social religion. They'll tell you how to live in a certain social religion, how to perform certain rites and ceremonies. They will just advise you to read certain scriptures. Just carry on the elementary thing, you see. This elementary thing. And if such masters also teach us, just do the duty in a real sense, I would say, there will be unity between man and man. But unfortunately, in all religions what happens? They simply say, well, look here, who belongs to this particular social religion, only he will be saved, and no other. Well, God made man, excuse me. Man is an ensouled body. God did not stamp any body with it, whether he is a Christian or a Hindu or a Mohammedan or a Sikh. When you transcend the body, who you are, what you are? The question I put to my master, well, who you are, he simply said, well, look here. If God is a Hindu, I'm a Hindu. If he is a Christian, I'm a Christian, you see. If he is a Mohammedan, I'm a Mohammedan. Well, religion of the soul is of the same as of God, you see. God is all consciousness, and our souls are also conscious beings, conscious entities. Man is social, and it is natural to live in some social body. That you remain. By changing one social body or the other, cannot ensure that you will be saved, you see. You will have to qualify yourself for the way back to God. And further, to sit at the feet of somebody who has just known himself and known God. Call him by any name you like. Now, when you go to such a man, what does he say? He does not touch your outer forms, I tell you. He says, remain where you are. Now, the present teachers of the social religion, what they say, well, okay, if you have this social body, well, you are saved. You believe in such a thing, that will do. Now, excuse me if I say, well, Christians say that who have God taken up the form of Christianity, only they will be saved. And the Sikhs say that only those who are in the Sikh form and believing in the Sikhs, they will be saved. Mohammedans say, well, who do not believe in the Quran, you see, as the Prophet Muhammad, they will all go to hell. Who is true there? Even all are wrong, you see. Well, of course, there are two sides of the religion, you see. One the outer objective side, the other the inner side. Objective side, purpose of the objective side is to prepare the ground. That will be the work of a midwife, helping in bringing out children. But a midwife does not give birth to a children, my child, mind that. That helping factor, that is necessary. To remain in some social religion is a blessing. But when you come to such a master with that qualification I have just given you, the subjective side of the teachings, esoteric teachings, you see, what he would say, he says, well, look here, you are after finding God. Where to find him? You see, the men of the social religion, what they advise, all right, read this scripture, you will find God. Attend that particular temple or mosque or church daily, you will find God. You see? Or just visit such and such place of pilgrimage, you will find God. This is generally the social religion teachers say. But the man of this type, who has known God, what does he say? He says, well, if you want to see God, go within you. Kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observance. You see, but by inversion, I would say. So for that purpose, the kingdom of God is within you, not outside. Unless you transcend the body consciousness, you will not have an access into it.
He will say that, first of all. Holy scriptures we respect because they are the words given out by these masters who came in the past, you see. For that reason. And the places, holy places of worship, you see, they are the places where men sit together and say the praises of God. And all these outer temples, mosques, and churches are made after the image of man. Dome-shaped or nose-shaped. Churches are nose-shaped and all other temples are dome-shaped, headlights. And within that, you see the light of God. See? Body is the temple of God, generally, which is given out by all saints. Guru Nanak says the same thing, that body is the true temple of God in which you see the light of God. Prophet Muhammad also says the same thing, your body is the true mask in which God resides. Guru Nanak went to Persia and met there a Mohammedan saint called Rukundin. He asked Guru Nanak, well, that temple in which God resides, can you define that temple? He said, yes. And he gave a very beautiful, glowing term, the description of the body of the man, you see. He says it, God has a dome. He says it has got, you see, 12, I mean, outer extensions. This, you see, yeah. This one portion, this is 2 and 3. 3 and 3, 6 and 3, each leg, 12. And it has got 52, I mean, corners, 32 teeth and 20 nails. He says, in such a house, above God resides. He speaks from above, and we hear him not. So all saints give the description of the body of man and the true temple of God. You see, this is what also Corinthians said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he says, further they say, if any man defiles the temple of God, what's the result? Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this is what Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands. This is teaching you by man. He says the true temple is the body you are carrying, this 5-6 feet high body. In this is the temple of God in which you will see the light of God. Outer temples and other places of holy pilgrimages were raised in form of, after the image of a man. There they kept a light, candle of light, and the sound of the bell, symbols of the light and the sound current reverberating in each heart. That was a symbol made outside to make you understand there is a light like that within you and such like sound going on within you. That's the voice of God heard within each body. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and he will dwell it with them. This is what the first ABC, the teaching starts from there. You see, in India, people do ask me, I just started a common ground for all. My master ordered me to have a common ground for all men, for all seekers after truth, irrespective of the fact to which particular religion they belong. They may remain in there, but there should be a common ground with no temples, with no ceremonies, no rituals, no special forms of wishing, you see. Each religion has got its own mode of wishing you, each other. nothing like that. I've got a very glossy plot, and of course a shed, a big shed just to give you protection from rain and sun, and that is all. People come with all men of all religions, come over, sit on the same platform, that grassy ground, and we take up all scriptures of the masters who came in the past. They ask me, what particular temple you have raised? I tell them, the body is the two temples of God, you see, in which you can see the light of God and hear the voice of God. When you enter in, tap inside what Emerson says, you see, and outwardly I told him, the earth below and sky overhead, the whole world is the temple of God, which is that place where God does not reside. You see? So the teachings of the Master start from here. The very first thing. Those who have made the outer religions as a business centers, excuse me now, they simply revolt. They say, what is like this man? They will go against such men. What did Christ do, you see? He simply went to the synagogues and said, turn ye out, go ye out, Pharisees. You have made the synagogues the centers of business, you see. The house of my father in which only prayers should be said, you see. Well, when there is some dross attached to the truth by the so-called priesthood, I would say, or the ignorance of the people, or for those selfish, with selfish motives, some master comes up, he just drives out the dross from the, and leaves the original thing, let the people take up to that original thing, you see. So this is the first thing he will teach you. He says, all right, when you just learn that much from the master, then he says, well, how can you find, you see? How can you find if he's inside, you see? Can we see him? Can we? Yes, you can see him. When you transcend these outgoing faculties, the organs of sense, not before. Now our, you see, through eyes and our organs of sense, our soul is just peeping out under the control of mind. When you come about the body consciousness, these organs of sense, only then you will be able to see, not before. And further, what he says, then if he's inside, why do we not see him? He says, this ego of the body, I am the body, the separateness which you have found. We were the indweller of the house. These are the wonderful house in which we were living. You were living in this wonderful house, and God was also living in the wonderful house, you see. But as we just become the body itself, this egoism of the physical body, that stands in the way. You must come up, know yourself, then you know God. He gives this teaching to the world as a man problem. You see? Now these teachings are common to all humanity, I tell you. Outward form of the religious may be different. Their modes of prayers, rituals, ceremonies may be different. But the purpose is the same, mind that. To sit in a Christian church, bareheaded is a sign of respect. But to sit in a Sikh temple with covered head is a sign of respect. Outwardly these two appear to be quite diametrically opposite. But the purpose is the same. When you sit in a holy temple place, sit in a respectful mood. That's all. So there are some like that differences in non-essential too, but if you just look into the two important things, you'll find purpose is the same, you see. He does not say simply, read all the scriptures, you'll be saved. Guru Nanak says, you'll be reading the scriptures for days and days together, for months together, for years and years together, for your the whole of your life, you will not see God. By reading alone, you may be reading all through life, but until you live up to what the scriptures say, they say you transcend the body, you come above the body consciousness, you must be come above the sense of organs of sense, only then your inner eye will open and you will be able to see God. The very clear cut teachings of all masters who came in the past. You see? If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Enter ye the kingdom of heaven with single eye. Everywhere the same way, teachings are there. Now the reason further arises, why people are, if that is so, God is within us. He teaches us, look here, you have respect, we have respect for the all holy scriptures. We have respect for all holy masters who came in the past. We have respect for all holy places of worship. We have respect for all places of pilgrimages. For the reason, because they have some connection in the way with the masters. We love scriptures because those are the utterings of the masters. Those are the words given out by the mouth of the masters. They are experiences. Therefore, we love, we respect the scriptures. We love all holy places of worship because the prayers of I mean God and are done there. We love the places of pilgrimages, for those are the places where some master did live. Otherwise, the land is the same, you see. There is no difference in one place than the other, except that some master lived over there. Prophet Muhammad lived in Makkah and Medina. And that is the place of pilgrim of all Mohammedan world. Christ was born in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place of worship of all Christian world, you see. Guru Nanak was born in a place Talwandi called Nankana Sahib. That is the place of worship for all Sikh world, you see. When one master remained at two different or three different or ten different places, all those places become places of pilgrimage. No, you find the difference between the two. Kabir says, well, I am in a strange position, people are going amiss. Who is the greater, the master or the place of the pilgrimage? You see? Place of pilgrimage owes its greatness only because certain masters lived over there. And certain masters have been to different places, all those places are places of pilgrimage. So that is, truly speaking, you find that master is greater than the places of pilgrimages. Master is greater than all the scriptures of the world. Why? These scriptures came out of the mouth of the masters. For that reason. And why we love the master? Because in the mouthpiece of God, we love God only. This is the teaching given by a true master. Now question, why have you forgotten it? He said, we are in a delusion. First of all, we have to know ourselves. We are not the bodies which we are carrying, you see. We are something which are infusing life into the bodies. We are the indwellers of the body. And we have to leave someday this body, that day which is called the day of death, or the day of the great final change. Well, death is no bugbear. I have come from India, I am alive. I am no more in India. Well, you transcend the body, at the time of death, or now you are in a way competent to go up with the guidance of those who do leave the body at home. Well, you simply leave the body, the transfer from the physical plane to the higher plane. That's all. We are, as it were, become the bodies itself. We are passing in a grand delusion, you see. At the time of death, we do wake up. We say, oh, we are leaving this body in all its possessions and environments. We simply shed two tears and pass away, and that's all. See, the whole world is in a delusion, you see. And everybody is sleeping, not awakened. He only awakens at the time of death, you see. When the death overtakes, he opens his eyes, he's leaving the body. You say, how can that be unless you come out of this delusion? You see the indweller of the house which you are carrying, that is, you know yourself by self-analysis, this delusion cannot be set aside. Then further he says, it is a very strange thing that this body which you are carrying, you reside in this also. You are the indweller of this body. Of course it is a wonderful house we live in. You see? But you have to leave this body. And all holy scriptures, all masters say that God also resides in you. Two brothers, soul and God, live in the same house, but soul does not see God. How pitiful it is. Two brothers living in the same building, you see, in the same house, but not seeing each other. Is it not pitiful? Have you ever cared? You see, we do read scriptures, and scriptures do tell us what? The God resides in every heart. Scriptures also say you also are in this body. But have we ever cared to know where is God within? We are simply seeking God in the Holy Scriptures by that, only reading of the Holy Scriptures, and attending the holy temples, places of holy worship, or running up to visit various places of worship, I mean pilgrimage. Saints do not tell that you do not do that. That's only elementary, preparatory ground. But they say the true God lives within you. For that you will have to invert, transcend the body consciousness. You will have to open the inner eye. When you see things for your own self, well, you will be convinced. He says very strange thing. In one house, always accompanying you with you, God is, I mean, soul of your souls. You see? And you do not know Him, strange enough. Instead of finding Him inside, we are trying to find out Him outside, you see? In books, in temples, which are made after the image of man, you see? We have respect for all those things, but just comparative. You see, by discrimination, Master laid these things before you to wake you up. What we are doing and what we should do, these are all the means to the end, you see. Make the best use of them. But if at all you have to see the light of God, that for that purpose you will have to transcend the body consciousness, invert, tap inside. He says, there's a very valuable thing, you see, most precious thing is within you all, and that is the divine link, you see, which is called by the Word in Christianity. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God, you see. This is what the Holy Scripture says. And the same was in the beginning with God, you see. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. And this is what Guru Nanak and others say. Well, the whole world was made by Nam, you see. Similar here, they say, All heavens were made by the word, you see. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That comes forth from heaven, you see. So all things, all creation is being upholding all things by the word of his power. I'm just giving these references only to show that power, that divine link which sustains, maintains, supports all creation, that valuable thing is lying within you, each one of you. That is an everlasting thing. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. This word further you find in the Hebrew, you see. So my point is, you see, that until there is a divine link in each man, Guru Arjuna says, until you come in contact with that, these five passions are attacking you, robbing you of all the nobleness of your soul. You want to just be saved by their attacks. What you should do? Come in contact with that divine link. And when can you contact that divine link? Only when you come above the organs of sense. That divine link has light, gives forth light when you come in contact with it. That divine link gives you the voice of God, the sound principle reverberating in all creation, which is called the music of the spheres by Plato. That is within you. Thy word is lamp unto my feet. It has got light. This is something, you see the light like a candle, you see it burning in the room. This is something like that given the Bible as well, you see. So, if you come in contact with that thing, only then you will be saved by the attacks of the five passions. As we do not come in contact with that, these, we are under the control of the five passions. These five passions attack us from where? Lust attacks it through the eyes. Anger is just flared up through the ears. You are angry, somebody tells you that anger is further flared up, you see, by hearing the words. Similarly, there are avenues through which these passions attack you. When you transcend above these things, you are saved from the attacks of these passions. You see? This wonderful house, you are being robbed away by five passions. You want to save yourself, the only thing is that you come in contact with the divine link within you. And where is that divine link lying? It lies above the body consciousness, when you come above the organs of sense. Now, how to enter this kingdom of God within you? That's the point. All these things lies in you, that divine lies within you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, you see. So how to invert, that's the question. Guru Arjuna further says, well, look here, it is just like a house which is locked up from outside and you want to enter inside. What will you do then? The key of that house is under the custody of somebody. And you want to enter the house, you must unlock the door first and then you can enter the house. Until you go to somebody, to the person who has got the key of that house, and he gives you that key, or he opens the door for you, you can enter the body house only then. Similarly, says this body, the house of God, You live in it, but it is locked up from within. You cannot transcend into the beyond, you see? You are just like in locked up room, in a house. You want to enter into the kingdom of God. God has locked it up and given the key to your master. You see? Now you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must go to the person who has got key of that. He will open that for you. How? He will give you a sitting. He will give you first an experience how to come about the body consciousness. He will open the door first inside. You will see the light of God. That's the only way up. It is a practical subject which you have to learn at the feet of some competent practical master. Why I am adding again two words, competent and practical, you see? Because the world is full of masters. There are so many masters in the world that people have become fed up with the name of the master. But true master is needed even now. It is not simply giving us some words for incantation, for repetition, or giving some lecture, not that. True greatness of a master lies in the fact that he can give you some first-hand experience of transcending the body consciousness, opening of the inner eye, seeing the light of God within, with your own inner eyes, and hear the voice of God with the inner ears. Who can do that? He is a man. So this body is a locked up house from within. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God until you go to somebody who can open that for you. And who is that? Who is competent to open that? He is called a man. Just for entering one house, you have to run up to the man who has got the key of the house. He will open it for you. Similarly, you want to enter into the kingdom of God that is locked up from within, you see. You have to rise up into that. You have to be born anew. Except until you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to just transcend and be born in to the new world, you see. That door is locked up, and that is within you. This is what Christ says, you see. Many there are who would seek and find it not, that door within, you see, which is locked up. Until somebody who is coming will make you sit and you will have that first and experience and go on day to day. This is what Guru Arjuna says, you see. You may be doing hundreds of other methods until you go to the man who has got the key. Within, you see, you cannot enter the kingdom. That is why Christ said, and others whom the Son of Man reveals, I just quoted you before. What he says further, he says, whosoever God wishes to liberate from the wheel of deaths and births, to rise above the body conscious and meet God, such a person is brought in contact with the true master. And it is from above. How a blind man can catch some man who is with the eyes, you see? If an eyed man who has got eyes on his face, he takes pity on the blind man, he just gives his hand into his hand, look here, I have come. Only then the blind man can catch the man who has got eyes. You see. What does it mean? You see? Whose inner eye is not opened, you see. So, similarly he says, well, whosoever God wishes to liberate the soul from the bondage of mind and matter, he sends or gives an opportunity to contact, to come in contact with the true master. Sometimes the thirsty man goes to the well to receive water, to drink water. And sometimes the God takes himself the water and just gives to the plants, goes around to give the plant. Somehow or other, who has got real search after God, he is brought in contact with the true master by the grace of God, you see. Either he has to run up to him, find him out in his own country or abroad, or sometimes that person, that God comes himself to give water to the plants, you see, to the seekers after truth. Some or other, whomsoever God wishes to liberate their souls from the bondage of mind and matter, he brings him to come in contact with such a master. He says, he also opens our inner ears to hear the voice of God reverberating in every heart. How can you find out a master? That such and such is a master. What are the criterion with which we can just see that such and such can only be master? By outer form, by outer propaganda, you'll find many things are going on. Everywhere there's propaganda, you see. But how many there are really who can give you first-hand experience? Kabir has given the same explanation. Who can remove the veil from within and see things for your own self, the light of God, and hear the voice of God with your inner ears? He is a master. Guru Nanak also defines that who can show the God within you, the light of God, he is a master. And who can open your inner ears to hear the sound of God, he is a master. All say the same thing. But for propaganda's sake, sometimes we do find, just to cover their imperfections or failures, they will simply give propaganda and look here, the man who can give you first-hand experience is not competent master, that's the work of a negative power, you see. And those who would not, competent master will never give you first-hand experience. How can that be? It is against the traditions, I would say, of the past. It is against the teachings of the all holy scriptures. And that is the only criterion with which you can judge whether he is competent or not. If he can say some experience, you can expect more of him, you see. This is what Guru Arjuna says, you see. Whomsoever God wishes to liberate his soul from the bondage of mind and matter, he brings him in contact with the two masters. And when coming in contact with the two masters, he has an overwhelming love for the masters, you see. That's the only way back to God. Guru precedes God, master precedes God, until you see God, where that God is working, or who is the mouthpiece of God, to meet him is to just come near God, you see. Suppose you go to the beach, that is alongside the ocean, isn't it? You have a bath there, but you always say, I have just bathed in the ocean. Similarly, the man in whom God is contacting, when you go to him, you see, evidently you say, I have met God, you see. So they have exhausted in saying prayers, but the God remains a subject as fresh as ever, even untouched, I would say. Guru Nanak says, you see, well, how many masters have come so far? Even that much again come up further. Even then the subject of God will remain unsaid. So we have respect for all masters, you see, in the past, for all holy scriptures. Holy scriptures have been all records of all masters who came in the past, including Bible. And don't expect it in getting 10, it will too late.